You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Couple of Pac-12 presidents spoke out today. I thought it was really interesting that it feels like the Pac-12's media rights situation, its dilemma, its saga, it feels like it is winding down. We have been talking about this for about 7, 8, 9 months, depending on how into it you get. I find it really interesting that there is a market saturation with the topic, meaning that I can be out at Spirit Mountain and just talking to anybody or in the grocery store or a restaurant or on a plane, and everybody seems to have found some kind of opinion on it. And for those of you who are eager for this to be over, I join you in that. The Pac-12 conference has been seeking a media rights deal, negotiating with Apple, Amazon, ESPN, Fox, and some others. And two presidents spoke out today. Dr. Robert Robbins, the president at Arizona, telling John Wilner of the Bay Area News Group that he expects this is going to wrap up. He literally said that on the rumors about the Big 12, he said, quote, "Why would you move for a couple million dollars a year more?" End quote. That's Arizona's president saying that. But Robert Robbins went on to say it's George Kliavkov's job to get in range or beat the Big 12. And it's his job to bring the best deal. If he brings in a good deal, then Arizona and everybody stays. And I think that element of this is what we're coming to a head with. Arizona State's president, Michael Crow, told the student newspaper at Arizona State that, quote, "there's been no discussion with the Big 12 conference about moving," end quote. He also said that the media rights negotiations are in the final stages. I want to talk a little bit about this and when I think it's going to be over, what I think is going to happen. Next Tuesday, the Pac-12 CEO group meets again. They will meet on Tuesday, and then they won't meet again until April 10th. I think this meeting that's coming up next Tuesday is really important, and I do think there's some motivation from the presidents and chancellors to wrap this. So I think what we're going to see next, maybe about next Tuesday of next week, is we're going to see the Pac-12 come to a deal with ESPN, Apple, Amazon, whoever. I do expect that the number is going to be within range of $31.6 million per school per year. And what I mean by that is, I think 10% either way, one way or another, within range. So I think it'll be right in there with the Big 12. Yes, the Pac-12 has lost the LA television market, but it's possible we could get expansion news along with this announcement, because I think the media rights deal will either capture new TV markets or announce to us that the Pac-12 is not expanding. So look for that surprise buried in the media rights discussion. So I think we're going to hear maybe some rumors and reports in the next week about San Diego State and SMU and others that may be involved. There are many as four that the Pac-12 CEO group voted to explore. I think we might get that before we get the media rights news, because what I'm thinking is that SMU and San Diego State will probably be informed by the Pac-12, hey, we're extending an invitation or we're not, prior to the announcement of the deal, because they're not going to want to be left going, hey, we have a deal, and oh, a day later, we're announcing SMU and San Diego State. So I almost expect that we're going to get a leak on the expansion front first. Now, we did talk, John Wilner and I, with John Orend, who is a sports business reporter for the Sports Business Journal. And he is all over the media rights negotiations and the media rights front. And we asked him today, what is happening like in the world of ESPN? What's happening in the ecosystem? Because we're seeing a lot of streaming services that were spending money hand over fist kind of pull back a little bit. And Orend offered some context to what he sees happening in the market. This is really interesting. Listen to this clip. It's from the Canzano and Wilner podcast. episode out today?
You know, I started with Sports Business Journal back in 2006. And that was when there were basically four, maybe five broadcast networks. And there's this little thing called cable television. And the broadcast networks got the biggest games, and cable television just provided the tonnage. And I have a distinct memory. I forget whether it was 2007 or 8. It was right around there. And ESPN, this teeny little cable channel, outbid Fox for what was then called the BCS by $1 billion. And I remember Fox was just like, where did they get that money from? And they it's because cable was a dual revenue stream. They were being paid by the cable operators, satellite distributors, and by advertisers, whereas broadcasters were only paid by advertisers. And so the broadcasters figured out that they could get cable distributors, satellite distributors, to pay them more. So they, through the cable bundle, they started making incredible amounts of money. And there were these just big auctions for media rights, because that was the best way to grow. You would go and get these media rights. So the sports industry and the sports media landscape, from that moment until now, probably 20 years, just saw massive increases in their media rights fees. Well, what has happened over the past, you know, this started happening back in 2014, but certainly over the past, since COVID, there's been, you know, cord cutting. People in the business call it a rebundling, you know, sort of you're cutting the cord, but maybe getting YouTube TV. These networks are making, they're still making profits, but the profits they're making are dropping. It's a, you know, there's a definite trend line. There's a rise in digital outlets as well. And so if you're an outlet like ESPN, you know, which seemingly had bottomless pockets, now you're making really difficult choices about what is a sport that is a must-have. And certainly the NFL is a must-have. The NBA is a must-have. And what is a like to have? They wouldn't mind that. They would have liked to have done a deal with Major League Soccer, for example, but not at the price that Major League Soccer wanted. And Apple ended up paying, you know, much more than ESPN or Fox would have. And so that's just ESPN. Across the linear TV landscape, you're just seeing these people that used to be reliable spenders all of a sudden step back. And the difficulty that we have right now is deciding what is a must-have and what is a like-to-have, and where that line gets drawn.
Is the Pac-12 a must-have for ESPN? Is it a like-to-have? I think it's somewhere in between for ESPN, because ESPN does need the Pacific time zone. I think it does value the markets, the media markets, like the Bay Area, like Seattle. I do think that they want programming that they can put on in that window late at night on a Saturday night in particular. But probably it doesn't fall anymore into the, you know, must-have across the board, because, you know, ESPN is thinking about some other areas that it needs to spend in. And it's why I think we're going to see a blend in the Pac-12's media rights. I think you're going to see some new players. And I think it does help explain why there's a lot of misinformation in the marketplace. In addition to all those consulting firms that are out there with an agenda, in addition to the Big 12 Conference, which certainly has a story to tell and really would love to peel teams away from the Pac-12, I do think you have like the traditional sports media reporters like John Orand and Andrew Marchand of the New York Post, who are used to dealing with Fox and ESPN, who are now dealing with negotiations that are involving new players. And they may not be as sourced in those areas. And I found, as we were talking to Orand on that podcast, that as I asked him questions about Apple and Amazon, he's not as sourced in those areas. He's not as connected. And it makes sense, because they're newer to the space. So I do think what's going to happen is I think the Pac-12 is going to end up with ESPN for its Tier 1 rights. I think you're going to see Apple and Amazon come in with a streaming service for the Tier 2 rights, the Pac-12 Networks games. I think it'll be blended together. I think the Pac-12 is obviously talking about licensing its data as part of its media rights. They've already licensed it. They're working with a company to sell it. I think that's where George Kliavkov's relationships in Las Vegas will help. I won't be surprised if BetMGM or somebody else in that space BetMGM makes the most sense. I won't be surprised if they are partnering with the Pac-12 on their data. And I do think that, and I've said this for 9 months, and you know if you listen to the show, I think they're going to get a deal. I think they're going to stay together. Whether they add one or two teams or no teams, you know, is remains to be seen. But I do think adding Dallas, the Dallas-Fort Worth TV market, and getting back into Southern California will really benefit the Pac-12, because I think it, you know, it offers them some new real estate, so to speak. Now, we got a clip here from 365 Sports talking about the Pac-12, their markets and their ratings versus the Big 12 schools. Keep in mind, some of this 365 Sports stuff is podcasts and such that are posted by people in the Big 12 footprint. Listen to this.
Yeah, and one of the athletic directors tells them that they feel that they've got better schools and better markets than the Big 12 does. Well, one of those is Los Angeles, and it's gone. One of those is San Francisco, and the two schools there, no one cares about football. And then, you know, Seattle would be the next best one, but they are behind Dallas and Houston, which are in the Big 12 footprint, and just ahead of,
but to be fair,
Orlando.
Dallas and Houston carried as much by Texas and Oklahoma.
Absolutely, absolutely.
As LA but, with USC and UCLA.
But look, Sam Bradshaw's throwing up the metrics here on the games that don't involve USC in the Pac-12, and they, you know, outside of Washington or a really good Oregon team, they don't do well.
All right, so these guys are responding to a piece that I wrote last week with a quote from an athletic director in the Pac-12 that said better schools, better markets, you know, better universities, whatnot. And it's true. I do think the Pac-12's got better markets, even without L.A., when you look at the whole of the markets. The Big 12 has got a bunch of markets that are mix and mash and pieced together. The Pac-12 still, without the Los Angeles TV market, still has Denver, still has Salt Lake City, still has Phoenix, still has the Bay Area, still has Seattle. And then you talk about the universities. Again, you know, the academic side of the University of Washington, you talk about Stanford and Cal speak for themselves, University of Colorado. It's just a better academic profile than the Big 12 schools by and large. And it's nothing against the Big 12. Like, you know, I think the Big 12 needs to survive itself. But I also hear in there that, you know, these are supposed to be people who know what they're talking about when it comes to sports. They're talking about ratings. The television executives will tell you that ratings don't matter. It doesn't matter that Houston, it doesn't matter that, you know, Houston probably doesn't have great ratings in the Houston market. Doesn't matter. They're in the Houston market. SMU doesn't have great ratings in Dallas. Doesn't matter. They're in Dallas. That's how the market is valued. It doesn't matter that University of Washington, it doesn't matter if they rate or not in Seattle, they're selling the Seattle TV market. The Bay Area schools, it doesn't matter that Stanford and Cal don't get great ratings. UCLA didn't get great ratings in LA. But why did the Big Ten want UCLA? Because it was in LA. So they could turn around and go, hey, we got Rutgers, they capture New York, and we got USC and UCLA, they capture Los Angeles. We got those, the, you know, the two biggest media markets in the country. Like, it doesn't really matter that they rate or not. This is about capturing television households. And it's for that reason, I do think the Pac-12 will go to San Diego State, and it will go to SMU, and it will invite them in. It puts, 16 million television households that would be back in the Pac-12. It sort of helps relieve. I believe it's 3.6 million TV households in Dallas, and it's another 1.2 or 1.3 in San Diego County. So you're talking about almost 5 million households. Guess what? It was 5.7 million that they lost when the LA market went away. So I think that helps negate it. Does it bring the same value as the LA market? No. And it's why I think you're going to see, like, everybody thought the Pac-12 would get around $500 million for its media rights if the LA schools were involved in it. At least Bob Thompson, the former Fox Sports president, told me he estimated about $500 million a year in media rights revenue with the LA schools in it. So you take away two schools. If you add nothing, I still think they're going to be at about $320 million for 10 schools. And then if you add, you know, Dallas-Fort Worth and San Diego State, San Diego into the package, I think you might be looking at somewhere around $33 million per school. I think they could beat the Big 12 with that package. But I'm not bidding on this stuff. I do think it's interesting that we've now heard from Oregon State's president, Jyoti Murthy. We've heard from Kirk Schultz at Washington State on the record. We have heard from Arizona and Arizona State's presidents on the record. I've talked to three other presidents who are in that room who are echoing it, the deal's coming down the pipeline. We feel committed. I just don't think that, you know, the Chicken Littles out there that are looking at the sky saying, oh, this is still, oh, the Pac-12's imploding. Oh, the imminent demise. I think in the end, they're going to end up holding the bag because I just don't see this conference suddenly breaking up and everybody going, oh, the money wasn't there. What I think is going to happen is that I think they're going to do a deal. I think the deal will expire in 2029. So I think the Pac-12 will go back to market sooner rather than later and try to make up some of that money that might not be out there right now. But I don't see the 12-anons, the QAnon Big 12 people, I don't see the 12-anons walking away from this feeling very good. They have been very quiet today after the presidents at Arizona and Arizona State spoke out. Leave it here. Some parting thoughts coming up on this great Wednesday.